It's time for What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.
Paula Bennett, otherwise engaged, we welcome Chris Pink from the National Party onto the breakfast show this morning. Hi, good morning, how are you?
Morning, good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks. Hey, this is our first time that we've officially spoken to National since the tragedy in Christchurch. Firstly, I believe a hats off and a well played and well done for not for just, I think, both sides of the House, and in fact all of our politicians and all of our important folks and notables have done an amazing job of spreading the right message and saying the right things after the event, and it was really nice to see it not politicised. So hats off to you guys for that.
Oh, well, thank you for that. That's good of you to say. I think actually genuinely everyone's reaction should have been and has been first, shock, grief, etc. About the event itself, and I mean for anything other than that, and the condolences to the victims, being, you know, not only the 50, may they rest in peace, but also their families in a community that's doing it pretty tough at the moment, and, you know, community within our community. I like to think that genuinely it hasn't occurred to anyone to sort of be political in a way that's not appropriate. Obviously, in time, focus will turn to policy, but for now, yeah, absolutely. Look, we've got to let the dust settle and also give credit where it's due in terms of the fact that we've been watched overseas, and in the way that our, the government of the day performs in that way is important, and, you know, no one on our side.
And the opposition of the day as well, I think, you know.
Yeah, well, that's true, to be fair, so I appreciate that, yeah.
I think the overriding one, if there's something positive that has come out of it, is that, the acceptance of the fact that we are all different seems to be a thing which is, just keeps coming up and keeps getting stronger and stronger as we talk about this more and more, which is a really important thing going forward.
There's all those questions about, do we sort of celebrate difference or do we emphasise what we've got together in common? And actually, I think it's got to be all those things. You know, as long as it comes from a place of respect and understanding, then I know it sounds really corny, but
time for that. It's time for for big calls like that, and it's time for things that might sound a little bit corny, I think.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, you can't spend a couple of weeks,
because all
it's been now is the nation sort of, you know, we've been turning up to others, faith gatherings. I mean, I was in a local mosque just recently, and many others were as well, and that's just...
First time? Was that your first time?
No, actually, I've been in one big one, particularly in the Middle East, and sort of I've got quite interested, I mean, not from the point of view of communing, I hasten to add, but, you know, just to sort of try and understand it, actually, just going back to that bit about, you know, celebrating difference. Well, actually, it's funny when you start to look at these things, how much actually there is in common. And I sort of always find that quite an interesting track to go down as well. I mean, without getting into a big theological discussion about the, Judaism, Christianity and Islam, and acknowledging that there's plenty around in New Zealand who have different faiths or none at all that they'll identify with. I just find that's really interesting. I think talking about it more, not less, can only be helpful.
So I guess we are going to get to a stage, though, with once the grieving process has moved on a wee bit, there's inevitable politics is going to come into the... I mean, there's politics. The country's still got to run. You know, there's the decisions still got to be made. The decision to get rid of the military-style assault rifles is one that your side, National, were lobbied quite hard to get that to happen when you were in government. And do you? I mean, you're obviously in agreement with it happening now. Do you think there will be a blowback from that? Do you think, or do you think maybe that all those people, all those gun owners, have maybe learnt the same lesson that everyone else is learning?
Well, I think, I mean, just going back to the discussion that was had a couple of years ago, and I think it went through a select committee, and ultimately, the National League government at that time made a call to accept some recommendations, but not all. The interesting thing about that, you know, my understanding is that all the different political parties other than New Zealand First were on board with where we landed. New Zealand First wanted a bit more of a liberal and looser regime, and that's fine. I'm not suggesting that they should have had the benefit of hindsight, you know, fast forward to 2019 in the events of the last couple of weeks. But I think certainly things have changed, and so it's appropriate that we sort of take a fresh look. And so in terms of looking at policy, and like you said, decisions have to be made going forward, and I think that's important to respect not only the memory of those who have fallen and been cruelly cut short, but also actually because the focus has really got to be on ensuring that this thing can't happen again, or at least as best as we can manage. You know, no lawmaking is infallible, but we've got to try and do our best in that regard. If I can just add one other comment, though, I think the process that we do that with will be really important. We've got to have a good, pretty thorough approach to how we put together new laws surrounding firearms. If we do a rush job and if we just act in a way that's sort of more knee-jerk than considered, we risk getting it wrong. And now we've got the opportunity to get it right. And if we don't take people along with us, then there will be resentment.
There also seems to be quite an obvious pressure from, in particular, the NRA from the United States, already starting to try and nudge their sort of way into the argument over here, which is kind of gross. And there must be other pro-lobby, gun lobby groups internationally that the idea of our gun laws suddenly becoming a lot less open doesn't bode well for other countries either, I guess.
I heard a report that there was some NRA, you know, brackets US, interest in the matter. It's not something I've seen personally. Probably I'm not with lobbying, particularly as a backbench opposition, et cetera, et cetera. But what I can tell you, though, is quite a few people in my electorate, Helensville, northwest Auckland, and quite rural in parts, do have an interest. But actually, you know, BMA, there's a bit of a balance between people who, and oftentimes people will start an email with, you know, I've owned firearms all my life and I go hunting every second weekend or whatever, and then they go on to say that they support sensible reform, and some of them are actually pretty strong in that regard. Others, though, are making the point that while they are happy to see change and, you know, they don't necessarily buy into the current regime, at the same time they don't want to be sort of demonised unduly just because it'll make some politicians feel good to sort of change things and pretend that everything's okay now and not focus on, for example, the fact that you could have a maniac with a slightly less efficient firearm and all that means is he's going to kill fewer people in the same amount of time. And that's, you know, but that's not the whole picture. So we've also got to look at not only the weapons themselves, but also the regimes of how we make sure that people who are appropriate to hold them, you know, the ones that get hold of them and not, you know, for example, the chap the other day who's, you know, well, it's obvious, obvious to say that he shouldn't have one, but, you know, that's going to be part of it too.
The Royal Inquiry that Simon Bridges was demanding is going to go ahead. That's him, so he's going to be happy about that. What are the things that National has discussed that they want to see out of that Royal Inquiry?
Well, I think really the point is that we want to see everything that's relevant, so it's got to be really pretty broad in the way that it's set up. And I mean, I haven't sort of seen the particular terms of reference that have been discussed on our side, let alone what the government's going to go with. But the key really has got to be that it's a fulsome look at all the different kinds of issues and how they relate together. I know we've got the SIS and the GCSB and probably some other acronyms in there as well. But the point is that, you know, there's a whole big complex balance of different agencies, but also in terms of interest. So obviously, I mean, privacy versus protection is a pretty obvious one. And, you know, if we cast our minds back to a couple of years ago when ordinary Kiwi blokes like Kim.com were sort of, you know, there was a question about mass surveillance and whether we all sort of thought we'd be in the same category as him. And there's quite a lot of pressure at that time to sort of not be overly intrusive. But at the same time, I think sensible people then and sensible people now will say, well, look, we've got to have a regime where the government has some ability to, you know, listen and look and act. And to be fair, they've got to
Are you referring to what Simon Bridges brought up yesterday, Project Spear Gun? Is that sort of what is that?
That's right. I refer to it cautiously only because there's detail that gets discussed well above my pay grade. So the intelligence security select committees is basically party leaders, and and so the likes of me don't get to see that.
But so we're clear for people listening, what Project Speargum is or was a surveillance program that was going to be locked into our internet to basically scan all the internet traffic coming into the country. And New Zealanders and internet traffic, and just keep an eye on it there. But of course, that sort of goes against the well, it's not supposed to spy on our fellow New Zealanders thing. And Edward Snowden sort of announced that was happening before it was officially announced, and then it suddenly got kiboshed by John Key, and no more was said about it. But it's interesting that Simon Bridges would bring it up again, saying that it might have been helpful, but. You know, do you think that National Party are going to be? I mean, the things that we are talking historically, we are talking, and definitely more than a year prior to the attacks, we're going to have to be looking back further than that. So, National ready to take the heat if it looks like some of the mistakes were made on their watch, if there were mistakes made.
Well, I think we'd take a healthy attitude about considering what's best for the country going forward. I don't think it's a matter of heat. So much in terms of past.
Well, take the responsibility if there's some to be taken, you know.
Well, I mean, whenever there is responsibility taken, it should be. But I mean, our current leadership wasn't anywhere near that select committee table any more than I am now.
Right.
Although, actually, to be fair, they were closer because they're higher up the food chain. But actually, I think you know what we've got to remember in all of this, if you will allow me to be political for a moment, is because it's important, is actually all the pressure from the party that's now in government, at parties, plural, actually all three of them, at that time was that there should be less intrusion and less spying on fellow New Zealanders, quote-unquote.
It was illegal.
Actually, if anything, we were sort of holding the line on the fact that there needs at least to be some. So if we haven't gone far enough, then, you know, sure, let's look at that and do the right thing going forward. But I don't think we should allow the Winston Peters and the Andrew Littles and so on of the world to claim that they're somehow the great defenders here. If anything, they've been opening the gate and letting in the barbarians. So it's a bit of perspective is all I'd say there.
Sure. Hey, so the Auckland City Council climate change report has come out. How is that? How's that feeling amongst the blue-green crowd in the National Party?
Well, I mean, climate change is taken very seriously by what you describe as the blue-green crowd in the National Party. We've got to look at that stuff pretty seriously from the point of view of policy making. A, in terms of what we can do to not pollute the atmosphere, but also what are we going to do if this thing is going to take the shape that it looks like it might? And actually, in terms of the area I represent, excuse me, being a bit local, is, lots of coastal areas and people's homes are under threat of flooding and so on. So that's the way to be part of it too. Auckland Council's got to play, a role to play, but so too central government. So, and for that matter, the private sector, the insurers and so forth. So, I'll be lying if I said I've read every word of that report, but certainly it's, we do need to keep rolling forward on that stuff. And actually, if I can just take a step back to the events, the horrific events of a couple of Fridays ago, 15 March, that day was the climate strike, I think they called it, of the school kids. So,
which was such a shame because that was such a massive turnout and it was such a genuine, sincere thing. You know, it was a lot of people weren't ready for that to be a genuine, sincere thing.
Well, I must admit, I was sort of unsure how it was going to all play out in terms of numbers and so on. And I actually, now that we're talking, it occurs to me I never did sort of catch up on the numbers and sort of what was said and done. And for obvious reasons, we all sort of obviously try to get our head around what was unfolding, which was, I'll be honest, again, I didn't, it's hard to sort of understand the scale of what was taking place because we simply didn't know, and then there's that thing where you sort of can't believe actually what you have heard to be true. Anyway, so the climate thing then, then as now, not much has changed, I suspect, in the Earth's atmosphere in the last two and a bit weeks, so that'll continue on and as a discussion, and we'll be part of it.
Chris Pink, thanks very much for talking to us this morning.
Good on you, Mikey, thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.